Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and welcome to our special episode on Miracle on 17th Street. Tonight, downtown Denver, the Christians were told they couldn't take part in the annual parade, the Parade of Lights, downtown Denver. And Faith Bible Chapel and their pastor, George Morrison, is at the center of the storm, and they've decided to hold a Christmas caroling and hot chocolate handing out event 1 hour prior to the parade tonight, Friday night, and tomorrow, Saturday night, at 17th Street in Tremont, downtown Denver. So this is an APB, an all-points bulletin, going out to the members of Denver Bible Church. In fact, to all Christians within an hour's drive of Denver, come on out Friday night, tonight at 7 o'clock, and Saturday night, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, to 17th Street in Tremont to Christmas Carol.
Now, Bob,
did
you see the front page ad of Christianity on the front page of the Rocky Mountain News today?
Jason Troyer, how are you, Jason?
I am not a Scrooge. Yeah. That's what John Hickenlooper said.
Denver's mayor said, that's the headline?
That's the headline in the Rocky Mountain News today.
I am not a Scrooge.
Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper beats humble retreat on idea to bump Merry Christmas sign. So
he was going to take down the sign on the city and county building every Christmas that says Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and he was going to change it to a more inclusive, celebratory Happy Holidays so that everyone can be included. But he received lots of phone calls. The newspaper says hundreds of phone calls to the mayor's office and city hall complaining about that. And so they're going to keep it Merry Christmas.
Now, I realize it's really scandalous and a controversy in America to have the word Christmas on any government property during Christmas time, even though we have a federal holiday called – what's the holiday called? December 25th?
Christmas.
It's called Christmas?
Yeah, I believe it is,
That's
yes.
the name of the federal holiday. What country in the world has a federal holiday that thousands of petty bureaucrats think – you're not allowed to mention. It's a crime to mention Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas, Jason.
And Merry Christmas to you too, Bob.
Thank you. So let's go through the Rocky Mountain News coverage of this event. It's interesting. And we're putting out the word, Christians. Now, we're not the only ones. We're one of the smaller voices putting out the word that Christians, if you can, tonight, tomorrow night, head on downtown Denver to 17th and Tremont.
Yeah, now one of the sub-headlines in the Rocky Mountain News today is church groups plan protest. Now, it's not a protest. It's a celebration.
Ooh.
But they say church groups plan protest of carols and hot chocolate. Ooh.
Yeah.
Tonight. It sounds like a horrible protest to me.
And we have nothing against protests.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is a celebration of the birth of Christ.
Yeah, so we're gonna have Christians downtown singing carols, drinking hot chocolate.
Handing out hot chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Now, what do you mean? Does that mean we're not going to get hot chocolate if we sing? Only the passersby?
You could get some.
All right, that's good. Now, underneath the big, giant picture of people singing Christmas carols, lighting candles.
It's the whole page of the Rocky Mountain News.
It's just beautiful. Faith Bible Chapel members say they will sing Christmas carols before tonight's 30th Parade of Lights through downtown Denver after parade organizers refused to admit their Christmas-themed float in the event, citing a no-religion policy. Other churches have pledged, including Denver Bible Church, have pledged to join them at 17th and Tremont. And that's why I call it an ad, because they're telling you the event, they're showing you a giant picture of the people that are going to be participating in the event, and they give you the address of the event.
Isn't that great? That is tremendous.
If we wanted to advertise the event, we could not have put better information on the front page.
No, and you couldn't buy an ad to cover the whole front page of the Rocky Mountain News. They don't do that.
Yeah.
But it's exciting because Christians, you know, right and left, we lose over and over and over. And this might – there's a couple small victories in this, but it's the excitement, the fellowship, the get out and let people know the Lord, we're celebrating his birth.
Yeah, and even if there was no protesting, even if there was no problem, it's Christians coming together, thousands of Christians probably will show up tonight because of all the controversy. This is even nationwide. So
it is nationwide.
So thousands of Christians coming downtown to sing carols, that's a beautiful thing, whether we were kicked out of a parade or not.
Yeah, right.
So singing praise to the Lord, singing carols, that's just fantastic. And that's going to make the newspaper tomorrow, and then we're going to do it again Saturday night, so it's going to make the newspaper again Sunday. So it's just a continual advertisement of Christianity around the Christmas season, which is exactly what we want.
And so the mayor of Denver is backpedaling. The Denver Partnership, which organizes the parade, they're backpedaling a bit. And they're saying, of course, there was nothing anti-Christian intended. But that's a stretch because the holiday is Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
The holiday is Christmas. And the primary function of that holiday is to remember Christ's birth.
Yeah.
And so to say we can't have the word Christmas appear for a federal holiday that's called Christmas is it's anti-Christian. And that's what's happening.
And we were talking about this at Thanksgiving dinner. Do schools in the nation, do they say Christmas break or winter break? Or what do they call it?
And some schools still mention Christmas.
Yeah, the ones that the ACLU haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
They're like a virus. They attack the bigger cities first,
right,
and then they'll spread into the smaller
the ACLU,
cities.
What does that stand for anyway?
Let's see.
Oh, the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld.
Absolutely.
That's it, ACLU. And, so, you know, last night Cheryl and I were at the annual banquet of the Rocky Mountain Family Council, and they're a neat group, and they're fighting for family values in Colorado and to protect marriage and against abortion and the homosexual agenda. And at any rate, we spoke to one of their board members and pointed out that in Arapahoe County, the ACLU sent a letter threatening them that if somebody gets sentenced to community service, they're not allowed to do the community service at any faith-based organization, like any church. So our own beloved Keith Mason was sentenced 2 weeks ago to, 20 hours of community service. And he said, great, I'll do it at Denver Bible Church. And they said, no, you're not allowed. And that's yet a new, an anti-Christian, because Christianity is the primary religion in Arapahoe County. It's a new anti-Christian angle that they're taking. And so Rocky Mountain Family Council was thankful that we told them about that. They're going to look into it.
Now, why wouldn't the ACLU be in favor of a criminal who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong going to a faith-based organization which does know the difference between right and wrong and would be happy to tell the criminal the difference between right and wrong? Yeah. Wouldn't that make him less likely to reoffend if he gets put in front of people who say there's a clear delineation between good and evil and you're on the wrong side, you need to shape up?
Not in their opinion, because they're the ACLU, the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. Let's go to the phones in North Glen, Colorado. Danielle, you're on with Bob Enyart and Jason Troyer. Hello, Danielle.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. One quick comment. I saw in the news last night about Christmas trees being put on display in a public school. They now have to call them giving trees.
Giving trees. You know why? Because Christmas is not the name of a national holiday.
Right.
Therefore, there's no justification for calling it a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Kids will have fun with that one.
Danielle, the beautiful people are filled with hate. This is the age of tolerance when the public schools, the liberals, the Democrats, Hollywood has taught tolerance, and they are intolerant even of a Christmas tree.
Yeah, isn't it funny how they're intolerant of Christians all in the sake of intolerance?
Forget diversity. Forget multiculturalism. It's hostility toward Jesus Christ that motivates them. And so at least we can see the hypocrisy. They do not believe in tolerance. They don't believe in diversity. They don't believe in free speech. Mm-hmm. They want to quash any public reference an honor toward Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, and it's only the free speech of the Christians. Everybody else can have all free speech that they want.
Yeah, right. Kwanzaa's fine, even though it's a make-believe Even though it's a make-believe holiday made up by, I forget who, some Berkeley professor 30 years ago?
Yeah, in the 60s, he made up a holiday to compete with Christmas. And he said it was some ancient religious practice they came up with in Africa, but he just made it up. And so he made up tenets of sharing and brotherhood and I forget all the other garbage. Yeah. But he was a criminal. He was in jail for fraud or something like that. So, right. I mean, this guy makes up his own holiday, and the liberals worship it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of criminals, just to switch gears for a second about Scott Peterson, I fully believe he deserves the death penalty, but I don't know all the specifics of the case. So what do you say to someone who quotes Deuteronomy 17, saying that there needs to be two or more witnesses in order to enforce the death penalty?
Ah, what a good question. Two or more witnesses, not only for the death penalty— But if you look at all the verses where that appears, it's two or three witnesses even to hear an accusation or bring a conviction against anyone of any charge.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't convict somebody of stealing on one person's say-so.
Right.
And so right there, it shows a little bit of a misunderstanding. And the two or three witnesses in the Bible, they're not supposed to be eyewitnesses.
Okay.
They could be physical evidence, circumstantial evidence. Mm-hmm. For example...
Now, is DNA a good witness?
Yeah.
To say if someone sexually assaulted a woman, is that a good witness?
Yeah, that's a great witness.
Absolutely.
That's in Deuteronomy 17, the verse you quoted.
Mm-hmm.
In Deuteronomy 25, there's the case where a woman is raped in the wilderness, and there's no one around to hear or see the crime, and yet... The Bible says God is speaking. The Bible says that rapist could be convicted and executed.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there's only one eyewitness there, the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, if the man says, I never saw that woman. I was never out in that field. I've come from this city and I'm just traveling by. I just got here today. And the woman had identified him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the judges... talk to her, and she says, it's him. We fought. I scratched him on his back, and they take off his cloak, and there he's got the scratch on his back. They go to the scene, and they find a thread ripped out of his cloak that's on a rock at the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two or three witnesses to convict and to execute.
Sounds good. Now, what is the circumstantial evidence in this case?
Well, the evidence is overwhelming that Scott Peterson murdered his wife, Lacey, and son, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
For example, to begin with, when his wife and child are missing, he immediately and repeatedly begins to lie to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks of his wife in the past tense while they're looking for her as though she were dead.
Mm.
He buys a boat and tells no one. Now, when a man buys a boat, he tells the mailman. He tells everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He buys a boat and tells no one. He makes cement anchors that are missing. He leads the police to the place of the body.
Mm-hmm.
The police had 20 good reasons why they believe Lacey Peterson was in that bay, and they were all based on Scott Peterson's words and actions.
Sounds convincing to me.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. And he's telling while a candlelight vigil, and they're searching for Lacey, and he's on the phone with a recorded conversation promising his eternal love to another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he should be put to death.
Well, cool. Thank you very much for
Danielle,
that, just in case.
How about the Christmas caroling?
Oh, yes. Me and the family and I will be there on Saturday.
Praise the Lord.
With the kiddos, and I think Curtis will not be able to make it tonight because it's a little bit too late.
Curtis is?
My husband.
Your husband?
Yeah,
so 5 o'clock?
Yes.
5 o'clock Saturday, and tonight 7 o'clock. Do you know where we're meeting?
You said the southwest corner of Tremont and 17th?
That's right. Denver Bible Church put out the word, not only Tremont and 17th, but we're in southwest Denver, so we'll meet at the southwest corner of Tremont and 17th.
And hopefully there'll be a lot of people there, so it's good that we're specific and we can find our people there.
Yeah,
so.
And it'll be fun.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you.
God bless you, Danielle.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. All right. So, Jason.
Now, going back to the Scott Peterson case, when a child is kidnapped, a college student or whatever, the parents never give up hope. They always say, you know, our daughter is beloved and she'll
– Yeah, even a year, 2 years later, they're hoping. Yeah.
So it was so odd for him to come out and speak about his wife in the past tense.
Right.
And criminals give away so much information.
Yeah, you know, Lacey was such a good person.
Yeah.
That I really needed to find a better person.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and so criminals find
easy
ways to give themselves away, just like the Ramseys.
Yeah.
We had there's so much evidence. You were saying that the ransom note that the supposed kidnapper left was a confession letter.
Yeah,
and if you read it. It was. It absolutely was. The kidnapper wrote, "You better get some sleep." Now, the kidnapper is writing this in the middle of the night, but is in anticipation of them finding the parents finding the note in the morning. So why would somebody who's just waking up in the morning need to go back and get more sleep?
Yeah, I advise you to be well rested. And the ransom note writer also complimented John Ramsey's business. Saying, we have nothing against your business. You have a very good business, that international, multi-million-dollar business you run. It's a really good business, and we have nothing against that. But this is just personal, John. I mean, it's just bizarre. They're murderers. They killed their daughter for whatever reason and tried to cover it up in their wickedness.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Jason, let's back to Miracle on 17th Street. Tonight at Tremont and 17th in Denver.
Yeah, well, not only was the front page covered in Christian headlines, you go into the paper and Christmas is Christmas to stay. And this is page 4A in the paper.
All right.
So City Hall inundated with opposition to Happy Holiday sign. Now, there's two different issues here. Yeah. There's the Happy Holiday sign.
That they wanted to switch.
That's right. They wanted to go to Happy Holidays. In order to not offend anybody, instead of the Merry Christmas, but people were offended, so they went back to the Merry Christmas, or they're going to keep the Merry Christmas for at least a few more years. So in the article, it says, it's a Merry Christmas after all. Mayor John Hickenlooper, seeking to distance himself from Ebenezer Scrooge, on said Thursday, he would not replace the Merry Christmas sign outside City Hall with one that instead read Happy Holidays. I apologize to anyone who may have been offended or mistakenly felt I was being anti-Christmas. Now, he didn't apologize for being anti-Christian.
No,
but he tried to apologize for being anti-Christmas.
You remember Fred Mertz on I Love Lucy?
It's a long time ago, but I do remember him, yeah.
And Miracle on 34th Street, he played the savvy political advisor, and he went to the judge, who the judge is trying Santa Claus, and he says, look, Judge, if you find this guy guilty, your career is over. You can't tell a million kids there's no Christmas. And so John Hickenlooper basically is being told off by Fred Mertz that your career is over if you're Scrooge.
Yeah.
And so pretty neat. Pretty neat. And, you know, liberals generally, they're down on Christmas.
Well, yeah, they hate the liberals just hate the holidays. In fact, we at KGov.com, if you want to go there, we have the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays.
Well, now wait a minute. This is you just pulled that up, didn't you?
Yeah.
This is the Denver Bible Church ad that we ran a few years back in the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what Westword did with this ad?
It was hilarious. Westword reprinted the ad that, free of charge.
There are like underground newspaper in Denver.
Yeah, community artsy type of newspaper.
The homosexual paper.
Yeah, you've been on the front cover before. And they mocked you. And
Ken Scott, too.
Yeah. So they reprinted our ad free of charge in its entirety and said it was the best church ad they've seen all year.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So,
but anyway, since you pulled that up, why don't we read these? We'll alternate. You read the first, I'll read. We'll alternate. And it's under Denver Bible Church press release. For immediate release, top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays.
Number 10, Thanksgiving is mass murder for turkeys.
Number 9, too many SUVs traveling to grandma's house.
Number 8, college bowl games encourage competition.
Number 7, millions of Christmas trees are cut down.
Now, number 6 in the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays, the pilgrims thought up Thanksgiving, not the Indians.
Oh. Number 5, Christmas lights waste electricity.
Number four, people are giving thanks to who?
Number three, winter lull in global warming hype.
Number two, daycare centers are closed.
Ooh. And the number one all-time top 10 reason why liberals hate the holidays, Christmas celebrates a birth, not an abortion. All right, that's the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays.
Yeah, so if you want to get a copy of that, go to kgov.com, print off 20 or 30 copies, put them around your workspace, put one up in your cubicle, yeah, and liberals will hate you all the more.
And get fired the next day.
Well, I just post it on the bulletin board and walk away rather quickly.
Oh, anonymously.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But they're
in another
funny
department three floors down.
Well, even Westward, a liberal newspaper, reprinted it because
they got a kick out of it.
They knew it was funny. So sometimes when liberals are making fun of conservatives or, yeah, George W. Bush, I laugh because it's funny.
Yeah.
So it can be funny even if you don't agree with the politics.
And Westward once ran a bit on the best media feud in Denver,
mm-hmm,
and it was Bob Enyart versus Mason Lewis at KOA.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Lewis was a homosexual newscaster, and his partner, this was what a weird story. His roommate, partner, had hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting part of the story. Now, I said KOA. He might have gone to another radio station at the time, so let me retract the call letters. But this was some years ago. But anyway, Mason Lewis, he basically had a staff Christmas party over his house,
mm-hmm,
and invited all people who worked at the station to his house, hot tub party, the whole bit.
With a manger scene and...
No, I don't know about that, but he never told his coworkers that his roommate had hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a little weird. So I pointed that out on the air, and it started a media feud.
Well, I thought people wanted to make informed choices as to who they hang out with, and information is never bad, I thought.
No,
so
right.
So just disseminating
my
information.
My homosexual roommate has hepatitis. I thought you might want to know before you jump in the hot tub with him.
Yeah.
That's certainly it. Simple. You know, and he might be making the pastries. And remember the dribbler? Oh, that was before you moved to Denver.
Yeah.
Never mind.
But that should, you know, the information should be good. Well, let's get back to the Christmas story because that's
– it's more pleasant.
Yeah, absolutely. So they took some community comments about the Christmas sign. And so let's see. Well, let's read a little bit before this. I apologize to anyone who may have been offended or mistakenly felt I was being anti-Christmas. And that was John Hickenlooper again. Now, last week, the mayor suggested a more inclusive sign might be used and thought Happy Holidays could encompass a variety.
Yeah, that make us all happy.
And it made everybody happy. That's why they called and complained. Hmm. And, you know, they want to include Hanukkah and Kwanzaa in the made-up holiday.
So. Jason, if you traveled to Israel,
mm-hmm,
and they were having a Hanukkah parade,
mm-hmm,
downtown in Tel Aviv, have you ever been to Israel?
I have been to Israel, and I've been in downtown Tel Aviv.
Okay, would you be offended because you're not Jewish?
No, I wouldn't be offended at all.
And
the liberals aren't offended when they go to other cultures and they see weird things. They go to Africa and they say, well, that's just their culture. They'll excuse anything in the name of that's their culture.
Right.
So why can't liberals look at America and say, you know what? American's culture is Christian, and so this culture is going to celebrate Christianity. They're going to have manger scenes. They're going to sing Christmas carols.
Yeah.
And why can't they just say, well, that's their culture?
Yeah, liberals don't care if American Indians give teenagers peyote, smoke, give them some pot or something, part of a religious festival.
That's their, their culture.
But if it's a Christmas tree, that's over the line. A Christmas tree, forget it. It's just a totem pole is okay. Right? That's their spirit gods, isn't it? A totem pole?
Mm-hmm.
Totem poles are fine. The more the better.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas trees are unacceptable.
Well, that goes back to number 7 on the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. You're killing all those Christmas trees.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's just fun to read this because the Rocky Mountain News is just filled with Christian stories today.
Yeah.
And it's great to remember the reason for the season. It's kind of sad that we have to come up with that saying because so many people have forgotten about the reason for the season. But the fact that there's going to be, mm-hmm, this has made the news nationally and it's come up again, that's all good news for Christianity.
Yeah, well, you know, that saying has been and huge lights on the side of Maranatha Christian Center for years. Mm-hmm. They've been ahead of the curve on this one because they got a beautiful, their whole campus, 20 acres, is lit up. And they got a natural manger scene every day of the year, all the animals they got there. And they've got a huge red sign that says, Jesus, the reason for the season.
That's excellent.
It's so neat. So, hey, you know, the president of ILIF School of Theology, have you heard of that school in Denver?
No.
That's been, you're newer to the Denver area. You've only been here 5 years now.
Yeah.
So, but ILIF goes back 100 years or something. And that's a, you know, Christian theology school.
Yeah. Now, and is it a cemetery or a?
Seminary.
Seminary.
Anyway,
Don't we call them feminaries?
Oh, well, that too.
Now, if I went to a school of theology, it would be the Derby School of Theology.
In Commerce City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the ILIF School of Theology.
No.
But talking about all this Christian stuff, what did this guy have to say?
Well, Philip Wogeman, the president of the ILIF School of Theology, said he was not so sure that the mayor's change of heart was a good idea. Not so sure. It's really not a very good idea because, you know, the mayor represents all people. And to imply that everyone is of one faith is really bad. So a Christmas tree, Merry Christmas, implies everyone is of one faith.
Yeah. So that,
if he's the president of ILIF, can't he at least, when he's talking to the media, just use, let's say, 2 or 3 brain cells? Just 2 or 3. We're not asking for a whole lobe or anything. Just the president of ILIF School of Theology use a minimum of 2 or 3 brain – remember, 2 or 3 witnesses to establish a matter? 2 or 3 brain cells and say, you know, just because there's a Christmas tree or on a federal holiday of Christmas, because it says Merry Christmas, does not mean everyone is of one faith. I mean, I'm tolerant. When I go – you know, we go to New Zealand, we see natives out in the – the Pacific Islander people, and they do their religion. We go to Hawaii, and we go to the Polynesian Center where these natives are doing all their wacko religious cultic dances.
Yeah.
And so we enjoy it. We watch. We see what they believe, and we process it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
we're tolerant. The president of ILIF School of Theology, being a liberal anti-Christian that he is intolerant.
Now, how can he be the head of the theology school and be anti-Christian?
Because it's ILIF.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Now, let's get to the other part of the story. This is the parade story.
Yeah.
Here we have the floats that were banned. Well,
yeah.
The Denver Partnership, which puts on the parade, their spokesman said, "We apologize to anyone who may be offended or misunderstood that the Parade of Lights is anti-Christmas," Baisley said.
It's not...
But he said this, "We will continue to listen to all the community concerns."
Good.
So there's an opportunity for Christians to take a stand and get the parade float back in next year.
Amen.
And so that's why it's a good idea to come down to downtown Denver tonight and tomorrow night and be part of singing Christmas carols, drinking hot chocolate.
Amen.
Having a good time.
Praise the Lord. Miracle on 17th Street tonight at Tremont. So join us, Denver Bible Church. You guys have a special invitation. This is an APB to all Christians out there. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Miracle on 17th Street at Tremont. And tomorrow night, Saturday, 5 o'clock, same place. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 303-431-5653. Over 100 staff members, 20 beautiful acres, Christ-centered. Call them, 431-5653. Jason Troyer, thank you for joining me.
It was a pleasure.
See you at Denver Bible Church Sunday.